Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Anya Kerr here, sitting in for Brendan. It's time now to look at the best film and TV releases for the week ahead. We're joined in studio by Dublin International Film Festival director Gráinne Humphreys and host of the Here and Back Again podcast, Dave O'Callaghan. Thanks for joining us, folks. We've a long list of must-sees to get through. So, Gráinne, we're going first to Becoming Karl Lagerfeld, which is coming on Disney Plus on June 7th. Do you have to know much about the designer, the glamour, to be able to buy into the story and fashion?
Not at all. It's basically, I suppose, in a way, a kind of origin story. It's about the early years. Although early years in this case are in his 30s, when, you know, he was a ready-to-wear expert, if you like, in Paris, but was still watching, if you like, the rise of Yves Saint Laurent, his kind of a peer that had gone soaring ahead of him. And the period is probably from the early 1970s to very, very early 80s. And it basically, it's an amazing show about rivalry, about competitiveness, about creativity, about being a German man living in Paris with your mother and trying to, if you like, realize the skill and the ambition that you have inside, and all the different ways that he manipulates, if you like, his way into, you know, becoming Karl Lagerfeld. The other side to it is it's also been a menage a trois between Yves Saint Laurent, Karl Lagerfeld, and Jacques de Bacher, who's a kind of dandy character who floats between them. But it's fantastic. I mean, Andy Warhol drops in, Marlene Dietrich drops in. There's multiple kind of purse-off moments where you see people purse their lips and look at each other and stares, withering conversation at the catwalk. Brilliant. Really, so really enjoyable.
The characters are good. The glamour, it compares well, because there's been a lot of these documentaries and movies about the various different fashion houses.
John Galliano, the Kevin MacDonald, was probably the most recent one. And I hadn't seen 70s Paris. I've seen New York's in the 70s. London, I think, we're very familiar with. Dublin in the 70s. But this is a really particular kind of world. But it is also about the level of stress that these guys go through to deliver for their sponsors and for their patrons.
Okay, that's a thumbs up for you. So, Under the Bridge, also Disney Plus. Dave, you're going to take us through this one, starting on Wednesday, June 12th.
Yes, this is based on a true story set in the 90s in Canada, and stars Lily Gladstone from Killers of the Flower Moon and Riley Keough, who people might remember from Daisy Jones and the Six. It's the story of a 14-year-old girl, Rena Virk, who goes to a party to join with her friends and never comes home. And this 8-episode kind of thriller mystery is all about the trauma and the tension as the cops accuse these 7 girls about what happened. You don't know what's happened fully. It's slowly revealed. And the cops refer to these girls as Bics, and they do that because they're all from broken homes and living care, and like lighters, they're disposable. That's how the cops, so you can imagine this kind of thing going on, just they naturally assume they've done something bad. It's absolutely fantastic. It's based on a non-fiction best-selling book by Rebecca Godfrey, and Riley Keough plays that character in the book, and it's her story, and the two leads are just absolutely brilliant. And Vritika Gupta, who plays Rena, the young girl, is also amazing. Like, if you like the recent True Detective, if you take that and take away the woo-woo.
Okay, so for those of us who can't do scary things.
Yeah, if you take out the woo-woo crazy stuff in True Detective and just have a good thriller, absolutely edge your seat, dark, gripping and stressful. This is it. So Under the Bridge starts on Wednesday on Disney Plus, and I'd highly recommend it.
Okay, great. Gráinne, you're going to take us through Four Little Adults. This is on the big screen. I think it's coming to the IFI and Lighthouse and some other selected cinemas around the country.
Well, if the Lagerfeld is kind of, you know, a version of Fassbender, this is probably more Ingmar Bergman territory. So it's a really interesting kind of four-hander, I suppose, in which a couple, a politician and a priest, are happily married in Helsinki, or so we think, or so one of them thinks, until they find out that there's actually been a long-standing affair. And so an open marriage is proposed. And the film kind of follows that kind of like fallout, if you like, of how the kind of marriage changes and evolves and moves, and the different partners get pulled into it. But it's, you know, it's counter programming to, you know, most kind of like, you know, the kind of action somewhere, I suppose, that we've had, in that it's a very delicate kind of relationship film, and beautiful. beautifully acted, beautifully directed, and well worth catching.
Okay, so a nice antidote to the summer blockbusters. Staying with cinemas, David, you've been taking a look at The Watch. This is the new film set in Ireland, directed by M. Night. Shyamalan's daughter is Shanna, and hopefully I haven't absolutely butchered that, but you'll correct me now, David. Tell us more.
Yeah, so it's about 28-year-old artist Mina, who here is played by Dakota Fanning, gets stranded in a creepy forest in Western Ireland. And by the way, Ireland looks great. If you're going to get caught in a creepy forest, this is the place to be. She comes across a stranger in the woods, Georgina Campbell, and she follows her, and then suddenly she's trapped in this kind of weird joint room slash cabin with a glass thing where they just like, stand here, don't move, they're watching us. And you're like, what is going on? So that's the first hour. It looks beautiful. It's got a fantastic eerie score. But the thing with an M. Night and an Shyamalan Night is, as we all know, if the final act doesn't deliver, if the reveal and the is meh, well, then everything becomes a bit meh. And sadly, when you get to the big reveal, you're like, really?
It left you wanting more.
It's very predictable. It's been done better, I suppose. And, you know, it's not really a horror. It's more of a thriller. And if you're going to the movie you watched in the trailer, you're not going to the same movie, because it's not a horror movie. It's just kind of, yeah, it's fine. There you go.
Worst review.
People are rushing to the cinema right now. I've always wanted to see a fine movie, but it's fine.
Okay.
That's all it
not
is.
A thumbs
I'm
up,
a
not
fan.
A thumbs down. It's kind
rat.
Of.
Yeah, it's not cute either. But anyway, okay. Right.
The Matrix, Grainne, this is not what I thought would be back in cinemas at a proper big screen experience. Is it worth it?
I thought it was. I really enjoyed myself. I mean, I think the thing about it is that there's a part of me that it's very nostalgic. I go back to when I saw it before. I do think that there's a really interesting thing that's happened in sci-fi, that I'm not a huge sci-fi person. And I remember watching this going, this is so complicated. There's so many different layers. I could be getting lost here. And I feel like since then, a lot of those stories have entered into streaming. We're more familiar with complicated lines, right? But the action sequences, I thought, stood up. I thought Neo was still fab. Trinity was still great. Agent Smith, who was obviously here on stage with Hugo Weaving, was wonderful. And yeah, I just think it's still got lots to give. And again, that idea, small screen is lovely, but it doesn't actually come close to the same experience of sitting there and that bullets are flying past you to the back of the cinema. That is where you need
to
be.
Okay, that's The Matrix, a new restoration back in cinemas nationwide. David, you've been looking at Geek Girl on Netflix. Now, this is a series that hasn't been without its controversies around its depiction of autism. How did you find it?
I adored it. I thought it was I really liked the Holly Smale books. I think they were huge, like the six in that series, and they're brilliant. And the Emily Carey, who plays the people might remember, she played Lady Melisande Hightower in House of the Dragon. She is fantastic as this socially awkward 16-year-old with limited circle of friends, and then she gets plucked out and becomes the fashion geek chic and all that. I think the interaction between the friends is really well treated. I thought it was all handled very well. And you're obviously going to always get controversy. But it's cute. It's funny. I binged it. I was up, finished it at 1 o'clock last night.
Like, that's the review.
Thank you for your service.
Geek boy had it. No, it's really cute. What was everybody giving out?
We were geeking like out in elections. You geeked out.
It's kind
on
of
this
a younger, quirkier
you.
Version of Heartstopper. You know, it's kind of... damn it, it's cute.
Okay,
it's just a
great
show.
That's a thumbs up rather than a fine. What about Star Wars on Disney Plus? Did we really need yet something more?
Well, speaking of not... anyway, just so you know, this is set 100 years before the Star Wars we know, I suppose, with the Skywalker Solos and Kenobis, and stars Amanda Steinberg and her one-time Jedi Master, Squid Game's Lee Jung-Jae, and they team up to investigate a number of those Jedi getting killed all over the gaff, and they don't know what's going on, and then it's really expensive. It looks like Star Wars. It is Star Wars, but it's a bit of a bore. Now, it's only two episodes in. Now, I don't want to sound like the grumpy man on a Sunday, but it's only two episodes in, and I hope it's because a Wookiee Jedi just turned up. So there's a Wookiee Jedi for anybody out there. But let's see what happens. We're back into the mitt and fine category here. That's definitely a theme, but there's better sci-fi out there, and this is probably not
This is a slow burn. Grainne, very quickly, the Bette Davis season at the IFI. Tell us more.
Oh, this is just amazing. This is 10 films. Bette Davis, one of the great, great actors. My gran thought she looked like her, so we had to watch all of her films on a kind of like, you know, sort of steady cycle, BBC Two afternoons, that's it. But this is a chance to see them on the big screen. The woman gave great TV chat show. If anyone wants to go out there and Google her, she's just a star. And I don't think, you know, Meryl Streep in Devil Wears Prada, for instance, or Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. I mean, some of those lines are, that's Bette Davis' delivery, that kind of really kind of like scathing, imperious kind of like tone. Jezebel is the one that she made purely to annoy the producers who didn't let her do Gone with the Wind. And her favourite one is Dark Victory. And a little shout out for Whales of August, a lovely film she made it near the end of her career with Lillian Gish. But really, fasten your seatbelts.
And verdict, you're going.
Go, go, go.
But, okay, Gráinne Humphreys, director, Dublin International Film Festival, and Dave O'Callaghan, host of the From Here and Back Again podcast. Thank you so much for that blitz through what to watch this week. Thank you.